Gene Welsh bought a ranch from Joe Miller in the Centennial Valley.
Centennial. Mm-hmm.
And he has a story about how Joe Miller's family came upon the ranch.
We got interested in a thing in, I believe it was spring of 92 or the summer of 92. In my knowledge of this ranch, I ran across the information that Charlie Kirk with the Colorado National Bank, who had been a fraternity brother of mine, was quite knowledgeable about what was going on there. So I called Charlie, and of course the first story he told me was about how old Joe Miller, who was a commission man at the Exchange Building in Denver, had rented this ranch, leased it from the Swift family. And I believe they were out of England, if I'm not mistaken. Anyway, he would send cattle up there from the stockyards in Denver whenever he could buy them cheap, run them on grass, and as soon as the price got better, why, he'd send them back. Was making big money doing that. Well, lo and behold, the antitrust law came into effect. The Swift family had pressure put on them by U.S. government, federal government, to get rid of some of their holdings because they owned a ranch, and they owned feedlots, and they owned a packing house, and then they owned distribution. So they were really controlling the beef market. So they put a lot of wealth. They decided to sell this ranch. And Joe Miller came up there and met them, and they got on the Swift family got on a boat, came across on a steamer to New York, got on a train, and rode it to Laramie. Of course, that was the day of the steam engine, you know. But met these folks out at the ranch, right at the ranch. Well, where they met was the old Overland Stagecoach house. And it had come in disrepair, I think, at that time, is what I understood. Later was fixed up and restored and used as a house. In fact, we lived in it for a while. And anyway, they were sitting there talking, and these women who had ridden out there in a buckboard with their big gowns decided they were bored and would go in this house, see if there's any souvenirs. So they went in there, and when they got in there, they had a little dismay that the door had evidently blown open and four or five big old steers gotten in there, and the door blew shut and they died. And so, of course, it stunk and an ugly sight, and the women come roaring out of there and said, "Sell this ranch, we want to go back to England." And so they did. And I believe Charlie told me they sold it for either 27 cents or 37 cents an acre. Anyway, it was pretty cheap.
How big was the ranch?
Oh, at that time, I think it was around 25,000-30,000 acres. Old Joe Miller built it into 125,000 acres of deeded ground and government ground. Mm-hmm. So it was a big ranch, big ranch. Well, anyway, that was, and we got interested in it. So the Millers had had a chance to sell that thing for around $10 million to the guy that does the stapling for surgery. He's the one that invented the staple you together instead of sewing you. And he wanted to buy it, but he wanted to buy it so much a month. And I forget now what the price was a month, but it didn't suit the Millers. So the deal fell through. And that was two or three years prior to this. Well, to back up a little bit, the Colorado National Bank was holding a pretty good-sized note on the Millers. Well, the irony of the whole thing was one of the Miller brothers would borrow a pretty good chunk of money, $250,000 or so, to operate that ranch. And before he got to operating it, he'd go to French Riviera and spend a month or two or three or four. And then he'd come back with very little money to operate the ranch, if any. And so they just kept getting in deeper and deeper to the Colorado National Bank. But they couldn't do anything about it because the Millers owned so much land in and around Denver. They owned the Montbello, which is a huge housing development. They made a fortune on that. They owned feedlots and farms all up and down the Front Range. So the Colorado National Bank was pretty receptive to anything to sell it. Well, I had just gotten a Macintosh computer, and a neighbor and then a school teacher where we were living at the time came out and helped us, and we kind of learned how to operate it. So I did a multiplan on how I could make that thing work for us, but I had to buy it a lot less money, and we did. We bought it for a little less than half of that. And so, as I remember, we didn't even have a contract. We just had a gentleman's agreement that we would meet in Laramie and sign that over. And that's exactly what happened. Before we did that, how we got to that agreement was I took this plan of mine and took a couple of the guys that were involved in it. The fourth one was a partner I'd had out of Kansas City, and he just was a silent partner. But anyway, we went and met with Mitch Miller. And to tell you how wealthy they are, he had an office, but it was in a law firm. He wasn't connected with a law firm. He just took up space. And the reason for that was he and his brothers owned the public building that we were in, 36 floors in downtown Denver. So I tell you how wealthy they are. So we went and met with him, and I gave him this presentation. And he said, well, I'll sure sell it, but I don't know whether the Colorado National Bank will or not. But he said, I think we ought to go over there and you present this to them. So we did. So I took about an hour and a half to go through this thing, how we was going to do it and present it. So went over there, and it was like 10 o'clock in the morning time we got over there. And so I presented this thing to them, and the guys that I talked to were the charge of the agricultural department. So they said, yeah, I think maybe we're interested, but we don't have the authority at this level. We need to bring a president of the bank. So they called the president of the bank and all this, and he came down, and several of the board members, or a couple of the board members, because they were really wanting to get rid of this bad note that was considered a bad note. It really wasn't. I mean, it had plenty of collateral behind it. Anyway, long story short, they came down then about noon. First thing they did was order lunch brought in, you know. Of course, that kind of impressed us old cowboys. And so I gave my presentation to them after we ate a bite. And, of course, in the meantime, we visited about it and kind of talked about it. And then I gave this presentation for the third time that day. And they said, yeah, I think we can do business. Question come up, well, can we have a decision today? And they said, yep, you've got a deal. And we didn't even draw up a contract, as I remember. I don't ever remember signing a thing. But we just had a gentleman's agreement, believe that or not, because I think it was a little off the cuff. Anyway, a long story short, we finally ended up a day set to meet at the title company in Laramie. And they drew up an agreement there. Our lawyer had drawn it up and had it ready. Well, we started at 7 o'clock in the morning. Well, I got to tell you this because it's kind of funny. There were 13 of this family of Millers, the grandchildren of the old Joe Miller. They were all over 65, and they were Jewish. Well, about the day before we went up there, we got a call that the deal blowed up, that there was a section up in the mountains that one of the people, and I can't think of his name, but worked there and ran the ranch, the Millers were going to give him this section. Well, they had agreed to sell that to us. And so we finally, before the day was over, we got an agreement that they would buy him out, and we got the section. Well, our lawyer in North Platte, who is now the Secretary of State, he says, we were working through the noon hour also there, and he said, well, I'll have lunch brought in. And so they brought in pastrami sandwiches, which is ham. And you can see where this story's going. Anyway, we were sitting there working through this thing before the Miller showed up with the lawyers from Nebraska, and then we had a Wyoming lawyer there so that we were covered with Wyoming law. And there was two or three realtors there. And so one of the realtors says, I'll go out and get some sandwiches. So we enjoyed that pastrami so much that we had that again. Well, about 11:30... or about 11 o'clock, the Miller shows up with their two or three lawyers. I think we had six or seven lawyers in there and three or four realtors in that office. It was crowded. Anyway, a little bit after they showed up, way in walks the realtor with the sandwiches. And they said, well, we better have some sandwiches to have for lunch since we're going to work through lunch. And we offered them ours, and they opened them up and looked at them and says, no, we'll just bypass lunch. Well, the realtor went out and got them some roast beef or something, so everybody was happy. But that was a little funny story on the sideline. At 9 o'clock that night, we still did not have a signed closing. The lawyers were shaking their fists across the table at each other and went going on. But about 9:30, everybody got hungry enough that they agreed. The lawyers finally got it all resolved, and the Colorado National Bank said, let's go downtown to, I think it's the 18th Street Bar and Restaurant or whatever it is there on Laramie downtown. There, they got a really good restaurant with a bar, and so they bought supper for us, and we had a deal. Well, of course, as the story went on, partnership didn't really work out as well as we thought it was going to work. So we ended up, in about a year's time, we were operated it for a year. And we did all right, but, you know, it was quite a learning curve with the poison weed and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. We got a real abrupt learning on that. Anyway, we ended up selling that thing at auction in about a year's time. And we brought an outfit in that had sold the Two Bar Ranch from Indiana. We brought them in to do it. And this was back in before, really, ranches were being auctioned in parcels. Mm-hmm. And, of course, they had a computer now, so that kind of changed how they could do that. Well, basically, we had sold two or three properties off of it, but basically there was 15 properties, split that thing up to 15 properties. And what had happened was Joe Miller had bought this base ranch from the Swift family, and then he had added all these other little ranches to it to where he had this one big ranch. So having said that, we had this auction, and it was quite a deal, quite a deal. In fact, the real estate commission wouldn't let this outfit from Indiana be the auctioneers on this one. They had on the other one, but they wouldn't let them on this one because they said they didn't have a license. So the Madden brothers were called in from Torrington. And Lex and Sean showed up, and they did the auctioneering. This thing started like at 10 o'clock in the morning and didn't get over with till 4 or 5 in the afternoon.
Wow.
And Frank Booth and his family ended up buying a good share of the grass up north. I tried to buy some of it, but they ran me out. And then there were some others bought it. But it went on. It was quite a deal. But at the end of the day, we ended up making pretty good money on the selling of the ranch.
Mm-hmm.
But I tell you what, it added 10 years in that one year to my life. One of the stories was I was up there. And
were you living in that house?
Yes.
The Overland Trail
house?
Uh-huh.
I was living there.
Without the cattle? Without the dead cattle.
Without the dead cattle. It had been cleaned up and fixed up. And in fact, the first time I went and looked at the ranch, this manager, Westerbrook was his name, and they're still there in town. He was managing it, and he was living in the house. Well, I think it was his wife. She had fixed that house up, and it was just beautiful on the inside, neat as could be, just a real old, fixed everything up really nice. Anyway, what happened out of that deal was I didn't get anything bought there. But at that time, there was a ranch at Rock River,
mm-hmm.
a big ranch for us. I mean, it was like 27,000 acres. And the city of Casper owned it. And the city of Casper bought it from the Grazing Association prior to that, thinking that they were going to take the water right off it. It had some 1897 or 94, somewhere in there, water right on it, 1,100 acres. And they thought they were going to take the water right off of it and transfer it to Casper because they were short of water. Well, the Supreme Court of Wyoming would not let them do it. They lost that battle. And so they were wanting to get out of that ranch because they no longer had any use for it. And so that's Ann and I, my wife, we went and we bought the ranch.
In Rock River.
In Rock River. And so we moved from the Miller Ranch up to there in the spring of 93. And we stayed there till 96 and decided we'd slow down a little bit and was able to turn pretty good profit on that ranch. And so then we moved down to Yoder and kind of got down, slowed down a little bit. But that was a big ranch. And one of the interesting things, we still got a board that we took off of that, I think off of the corrals. There was a huge log barn on this ranch there at Rock River. It was called Thornton Ranch. Dan Thornton, who was governor of Colorado, had owned that ranch at one time, the whole thing. In fact, there's still a grazing association that the Kennedy family have up there. But we ended up selling that ranch in a year's time, or 3 years' time, I guess, on that one, just because it was a little tough calving out our cows up there. They weren't used to that high altitude and that cold. And so we went down to a little lower altitude and a little more deal. But we took a board, a brand that they tested their branding irons on, and it had Tom Horn's brand on it.
Oh, cool.
And we captured onto that. And but that old log barn, that was a unique thing. That was a huge barn, big old hay loft in it.
Uh-huh.
And it had a house that somebody brought me a picture of. and showed this little house, and you could look right out through the rafters when we got it, and we fixed it up and restored it. This picture showed this house and the barn and about a half a dozen teepees. And so I ran into an old boy at that time that was at there living in Rock River, that he was about 90 years of age. And so I got to visiting with him. And he said, oh, yeah, I worked on that ranch. It was called the CB&C. And he said, we captured horses, wild horses or any horses that were loose, and we'd bring them in and work them, do whatever they had to them, but work them. And then we'd break them to ride, and then we'd put them on a train, or we would trail them to Fort Robinson, Nebraska, for the Army to use. Yeah. And they actually turned, it was 75,000 acres at that time, and they would actually turn a thoroughbred stud loose for remount horses. Mm-hmm. That's what they were capturing. And that's how that thing came about. And there was an alley out there that was huge, tall. And I could, why would you have an alley so tall to work cattle? And it never dawned on me that they were working these horses at that time. Well, anyway, this old boy said it, CB&C. And I said, well, what does CB&C stand for? He said, corned beef and cabbage.
The Irish.
And it was owned by some English people.
No, English, okay.
At that time.
Uh-huh.
And so that's how that all came about. But it's kind of an interesting thing.
I understand that you had a story about the steam engine with the train coming through.
This was going back to the Miller Ranch, and one of the Miller brothers got telling stories. And the one I remember real well was that they were running yearlings. They were running yearlings on this ranch at that time. And, of course, you know, this was back in the 40s, 50s, I would say. That I'm guessing here, maybe even, it was when they still had steam engines. And there was this spur line that came out of Laramie off of the main UP line there. It wasn't, I forget now what it was called. It was called Centennial Line or something. But it went out to Centennial, and then it went on farther west
Albany,
somewhere.
I
think it went to Albany and maybe over even to Encampment. I wasn't sure of that. But anyway, there was that line, and at the time we owned this ranch, there was train loads of tourists go through there. And, of course, they had an old diesel engine they were pulling with. And they served them food and open box cars, and people are having a lot of fun. They only run like 15 miles an hour. But there was quite a set of stockyards along that spur line that these millers used to ship cattle. And so they rounded up 1,100 head two, three, four, five-year-old yearlings. I mean, they were pretty wild cattle anyway. And they'd gotten them into that stockyards without too much of a wreck. And so knowing the cattle were really nervous, they got in their vehicle and drove down and met the train coming out of Laramie on this spur line. It was a steam engine with stock cars, livestock cars. And they stopped him at a crossing, flagged him down. Of course, he wasn't going too all fast. And they crawled up in there with him. And Miller said that we told him that if he blew the whistle, if he made too much noise with the steam engine or did anything too quick, we was going to shoot him. And he said, of course, we wouldn't have. But he said, we really threatened the engineer and really got impressive with him. So he said he just did a beautiful job of spotting those cars at the stockyards there, and they were just getting all ready to load. And down this old dirt road come this Cadillac with the longhorns on the hood, just roaring up there, you know. And he said it was a town drunk out of Laramie, and he was drunk. Said he got out and he whooped and hollered and said something about cattle and good old days, and he pulled a pistol out and shot that thing three or four times in the air. They gathered some of those cattle in downtown Laramie to bring them back. Tore that corrals all to pieces. Because I was commenting to him. I said, well, they're still pretty good corrals. He said, well, we rebuilt them not too many years ago. And he told me this story about them tearing it. He told a lot of other stories. One of the interesting stories that I saw, and I laugh at it to this day, but, you know, I'd gone to college and got all these fancy weirs and all for irrigating and diversions. And I mean, pretty fancy stuff. Now they can do it from town, you know. Well, how they diverted water out of the It's either Little Laramie or the Brown. Both of them went through this ranch. Miller, Mill Creek. Mill Creek and Little Brown. I think it was on Mill Creek. They'd taken an old van, taken all the running gears off of it, took the engine out of it, the whole front dash out of it, and set it right out in the middle of that creek, and then pushed dirt up against the side of it. And so when you wanted to divert water, you shut the back doors. And that would divert the water out onto the meadows.
So that's what the vehicles were doing in the creek.
Yeah, that was modern day. That was how they come up with some of that stuff. Anyway, I thought that was kind of interesting. A lot of things on this place that
has a lot of history.
Yeah, a lot of history on that ranch.